have was to commence with hymn number 24. Why should the children of a king go mourning all their days? Great Comforter, descend and bring some tokens of thy grace. Number 24.
Us to read the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye should die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word. May he grant us prayer. Dear Lord, do now draw us away from all else unto thee, out of self. Lord, away from the things with which we have been engaged this day. And Lord, oh, thou knowest the need of that separation. Even in thy house these things will intrude, except thou overcome them for us. Oh, do it for us, we pray. The glory of thy great name, the good of our souls. That we may know that which thy dear handmaid wrote. Far from my thoughts vain will be gone. Let my religious hours alone. I wait a visit, Lord, from thee. Oh, do visit us, Lord, here this evening with thy salvation. and remember us with the favour thou bearest toward thy people, even that thou would speak to us and reveal thyself to us as thou dost not unto the world. Lord, that we might know thy love. Lord, that we might know the overcoming of all our lack of love to thee, and of all our enmity against thee. Lord, we pray, oh, come and bless us. Grant thy people a set time to favour them. Lord, a token for good, a word from thine own mouth, a blessing indeed, light upon their path, light upon their souls. They said to you that fear my name, will the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. O Lord, arise this evening upon those that fear thee. Lord, scatter the clouds, scatter the darkness. O conquer the unbelief and every other sin. Soften the hard heart, give a heart of flesh, renew a right spirit within us. O Lord, we pray for a broken heart and a contrite heart. Lord, to lie at thy feet, as that woman did in the house of Simon the Pharisee. Lord, oh, we do pray, make us each real mourners over our sin, really broken hearted. Lord, it's thy grace. There's nothing else can make us broken hearted. Oh, and terrors do but harden, all the while they work alone. But a sense of blood-bought pardon soon dissolves a heart of stone. Oh, we pray, Holy Spirit of truth, do come. Quicken the dead. Convince of sin. Lead to Christ. Reveal him to us. Seal thy people in the way we've read of it from thy word this evening. Bear witness with their spirits that they are the children of God. Oh, reveal the Son. Take of the things of Jesus and show them to us. Lord, Almighty God, hast thou not said through thy Son that thou give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Hast thou not said, Lord Jesus, that thy Father will send the Spirit in thy name? Oh, fulfill the same on us assembled here, for thou hast not said thou would do it in our name, but thou hast said thou would do it in the dear name of thy Son. And it's that name we would plead. Oh, give more faith to plead that name. Lord, we confess our unbelief. We confess, Lord, our many, many sins. Lord, we're unclean. Lord, wash us, we pray. Lord, how soon we contract fresh guilt after some hope of pardon, some sense of pardon has been given. Oh, how soon we contract fresh guilt. Lord, when thou hast drawn us to thy feet, how soon we get away. Oh, Lord, come again. Draw us again. Make us nigh again. By the blood of Christ, keep us at thy feet. Lord, help this people. Thou knowest them each, those that are thine. Lord, thou knowest where they are in their paths. It's all appointed by thee. Oh, be with them. Help the afflicted. Be with them, Lord, from that affliction to take the curse. Be with them, Lord, according to thy will, to heal and restore and strengthen. Be with them, Lord, according to thy will, to bring them forth. Better for the cross. Lord, a monument of thy mercy, to testify once more of thy goodness. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and delivered him from all his fears. Lord, we pray to get to thy great name among this people here, more honour and glory. Lord, thy sovereign blessed grace, from beginning to end. Lord, there's nothing of man in it. 'Tis all of thee. Lord, bless thy people with that which the hymn writer was favoured with when he said, all is settled. And my soul approves it well. Oh, let grace abound, Lord, where sin now abounds. Oh, grant a blessed increase. Oh, where thou hast given a little faith, increase that faith. A little fear of God, increase it. A little love, increase it. Oh, Lord. Do grant this people here then that godly increase, and if it is thy will numerically, to the gracious godly building up of the church. Lord, we plead for it throughout the earth, in our own land, Lord. Oh, thou knowest how thy people mourn the low state. Oh, do help them to cry unto thee, to lift up their voice unto thee. Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? Thy people may rejoice in thee, that the word again might be made by thy power mighty, to the pulling down of the strongholds of sin and Satan, and the building up of thy people in their most holy faith. Lord, the clear work of thy Spirit may appear. Lord, have mercy. Oh, deliver us each from all deceit, everything that is counterfeit. Grant us that which is right. Thy own work, thy own self, Lord Jesus, as our righteousness. We commend to thee the church, bless the deacons. Do grant them grace to use their office well. Do direct them, Lord, bless that which is sung, that which is read from time to time. Give prayer and give answers, Lord, in thy time and way. Bless the ministry here. Oh, we pray for this people, a living, faithful ministry. We pray, Lord, oh, do pour thy Spirit upon those whom thou hast sent forth, and upon those whom thou wilt send forth. Lord, help, we pray. We seek, Lord, thy merciful appearing for those who have deep perplexities in their path and circumstances, and especially in their innermost never-dying souls. Lord, oh, there is nothing too hard for thee. Give us faith to believe it, to trust in thee, to commit our way unto thee, to cast our care upon thee. Lord, to cry unto thee. Thou hast not said unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. Lord, we thank thee. Where we have proved, it is not vain to seek God. where we have proved the faithfulness of thy word, of thy promises, where we have proved thy loving kindness to be better than wine, where we have proved, Lord, thy love to be better than the love of women, Lord, where we have proved thee to be, O God, who is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy. Continue thy goodness to us, we pray. We plead mercy for our guilty land. Lord, do we pray, restrain evil. Do overrule, Lord, those in authority. Oh, have mercy, Lord. Especially we plead this with regard to thy little remnant, and we pray for it wherever they are through the earth. Do help. Oh, do overrule rulers. Lord, we pray. Oh, do grant thy people the sweet experience of knowing that the Lord is their Lord, their shield, their exceeding great reward, their defence, their strong tower. Lord, we mourn over the things that are taking place in our land. Lord, those things that are anti-Christ, anti those that fear thy name, against those, Lord, that desire to walk in thy fear. Lord, we pray, if it would please thee, do turn the wicked devices of men into foolishness. Do help thy little remnant. We pray for our young, Lord. Do bless them. May they know God as their God. May they know the throne of grace themselves. Oh, may they hear thy word themselves. May they know thy deliverance themselves. May they know thy guidance themselves. Lord, may they know Christ as their Redeemer, their Shepherd, their all in all. Forgive now what one's asked amiss. Come to our aid as we turn to thy word. Oh, pour in. Oh, we do pray for that fresh manna, that fresh water. And do grant, Lord, the hearing of faith as we would ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 296. The wandering star and fleeting wind both represent the unstable mind. The morning cloud and early dew bring our inconstancy to view. 296.
in dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you to the Epistle of Paul, to the Romans chapter 8, reading verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What an unspeakable mercy and favour if we can say in our measure, the apostle here, we know this. Tis known by faith, tis known by experience, but principally is known by faith. For the good is that which is seen by faith. Paul speaking, writing in another place, he said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. There may be those here this evening, it is likely there is, and concerning the many things in your life, you cannot at this present time see how they are working together for good. If you could see that without the Lord showing it you, it would not be working together for good. The Lord leads his people in paths that they have not known. He makes darkness light before them. And until he makes darkness light, there is no light. It is complete darkness. But when he makes darkness light, it is light. And to you that fear my name, he said, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth, forth out of that darkness, forth out of that trouble, and grow up as calves of the stall. But the apostle speaks here of this particular people. He says, them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. They did not love him before he called them, that is certain. It is impossible for a person to love God before they are called. The natural mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Oh, that enmity, hatred against God. Oh, how solemn, how dreadful a condition, without God, without hope, without love. But Paul writes in another place, God commendeth his love toward us, In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yet enemies to God, Christ died for us. And the calling of God is unto his dear Son. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son. Called out of nature's darkness. Called to know God in some measure. Infinite, intrinsically holy, having a perfect and complete abhorrence, just abhorrence of all sin. The God who seeth all things, who knoweth all things, called to tremble before this great God, called to the bar of his divine justice in the law of God, called to hear that holy law of God, called to have it come into your heart with the effect that the apostle writes of, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Called to the throne of his grace, the mercy seat. None would come there if they weren't called there. To that sinner who is called to the holy law of God, he goes on to call them. You see, if they hadn't first in some measure been called to know God in his holiness, his justice, his solemn sentence against sin, they'd have no need to go to the throne of grace. No need to seek mercy. If they could work out a righteousness of their own, they wouldn't need that righteousness, which is God's free gift. If they could do something to warrant God's favour and salvation, they wouldn't need the mercy that God proclaims from his mercy seat. The called. It is according to his purpose. Sovereign election. I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. How often he passes by those who, naturally speaking, we would think he would call. And he calls the lowest, the worst, the vilest. He passed by many that looked up from the ground. Those three with Jesus in the midst on the cross. And he called the thief according to his purpose. Yes, it must be according to his purpose. Oh, it couldn't be according to the purpose of man. Oh, because man's purpose is anti-God, anti-Christ, against the truth. And it couldn't be according to man's purpose, because however man purpose, there can be no calling. There can be no change in a person's life, not for the real better. There can be no coming to God according to man's purpose. It is according to his purpose. And you see, it's in this calling, in that I've tried to come to now in speaking of this calling, in speaking of being called to the mercy seat, to Christ, that this love begins to be given. Because it's in his Son that God is love. In his Son, the Father is love. In his Son, the Spirit is love. And the Son is love. A trinity of loving persons in the Son of God. Oh, he hath caused that glorious light to shine in the person of his dear Son. Joseph Hart puts it like this, doesn't he? Oh, ye sons of men, be wise. Trust no longer dreams and lies. Age of Christ, almighty power, can do nothing but devour. Worship God then in his Son. There he's love, and there alone. Think not that he will or may pardon any other way. Now, as it is there that his love is made known, as it is in that great person of his Son in all that he is, and in that great work of his Son in all that he has done, that great grace of his Son by which sinners are saved, that the love shines forth. When a sinner gets a glimpse of that by faith, then they begin to feel that love to God. We love him, said John, because he first loved us. Oh, have you ever had your enmity against God slain by Christ? Slain by the love of Christ. You see, that's how Christ overcame all that was against him in his great, his blessed, his infinite work here on this earth. He overcame it. Not with a sword that Peter took out of his sheath and smote off the servant, the ear of the servant of the high priest, but by drinking the cup that his Father gave him to drink. That's how he overcame his enemies. And that's how he overcomes his enemies and each of his people. He doesn't overcome them by shouting at them. No. Oh, my dear friend. This is more than I can find words to describe. The love of Christ to sinners. The love of Christ to those who are rebels against him by nature. Oh, have you ever been astounded by the love of Christ? Astounded that he should love such a sinner as you. Astounded, I looked for hell, he gave me heaven. To them who are the called according to his purpose. You see that woman that was brought to the feet of Jesus in the house of Simon the Pharisee. The Lord Jesus said of her, she loved much. Because she had heard of him in such a way as she saw him to be altogether lovely. And that was what made her weep at his feet. And you see, he said she loved much, and that was before she received the forgiveness of her sins. Why, I believe she loved more afterwards. A greater measure. To them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. When you see, he that loves the Son loves the Father also and loves the Holy Ghost. Why? Because that faith that the Lord gives in his dear Son, it's that faith in the Son of God. It's that faith in him who was sent by the Father, who is mysteriously and incomprehensibly the true Son, the true eternal Son of the eternal Father. He that has seen me, said Christ, hath seen the Father. Them that love God. Oh, that love to the Father, because it was He that set up His Son from everlasting. It was He that spared not His beloved Son. It was He that decreed, this is how I will save my people. Not by them obeying the law, but by my Son obeying it. Not by them bringing something to me which is acceptable to me, but my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Not by them conquering their sin, but by my Son conquering it for them. Not by them softening their own hearts, but by the grace of my Son, the blood of my Son, applied to their heart. Not me forgiving them because they have been ever so contrite, ever so sincere, ever so humble. No, me forgiving them in the name of my dear Son, forgiving them altogether because of my dear Son. Oh, that love to God. That same God who you trembled before. That same God whose frown made you quake in your shoes. That same God whose solemn pronouncements against sin brought you so low. That same God who you feared was your enemy. To them that love God, to them who are the called, according to His purpose. But let us not think that this calling is just once in this people's life. There is one call by grace in the beginning. Why is there but one? Because it is such an effectual work. That call by grace is a new birth. It doesn't have to be done again. But how often a child of God comes into the feeling where it needs to be done again. How often they come into those places where their call by grace, their new birth is brought greatly into question. But that doesn't alter the truth that the new birth is once and forever. It cannot be overthrown. It may be hidden. It may for a long season be in great doubt in your mind, child of God, and in other people's minds. But that doesn't alter the truth. God looketh on the heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance. But you see, who are the called? Oh, what continual call does this people need? And what continual calls do this people receive from Almighty God? We might put it as one of the things in which the text is proved to be true, the working together of all things for good. Through those things working together whereby there is a calling of God. An effectual calling of God of that sinner unto Himself again. Oh, I think of that word in the book of the Proverbs where the Son of God speaks under the name of wisdom. And He says unto you, O men, I call. And my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Oh, the call of the Son of God unto His bride. The call of the Saviour of sinners unto His lost people. Oh, the call of the Him in whom all the fullness dwells, to them who are empty of all good, to them who are the called according to His purpose. They're called to follow Him. My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. The work of grace does it. Oh, don't think, my dear friend, that you must deny yourself and then follow Christ. No, surely what the Lord spoke there was this. None come unto him except the Father which has sent him draw them. And he himself says, how they follow. My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. It's his grace, the effect of it, that he's speaking of when he says, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. If you're taught of God, you'll know it. Lord, I can't deny myself. But you'll also know Christ can do it. If you don't know it now, you'll know it one day. Christ can do it. Crucified with Christ, says Paul. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The call then, but the Lord enabled me to come to speak as he gives it to me concerning this main point in the text. And we know that all things work together for good. The all things. And when it says all things, it means all things. Nothing excluded. My life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye, all things. And sometimes the Lord makes this clear to his people. When some seemingly small thing in their life is seen, is shown by God to have had such a great moment hanging on it. Such great events. Such great consequences. Hanging on something seemingly so small. All things. Why is it? Because all things are under the control of this God, who loves them, who has called them. Not a particle of dust can fly and settle without the knowledge and the will of God. My mind goes to the Lord's late dear servant, Mr. Short of Chippenham, and the time when he stood in the pulpit of South Morton with a bandage over his eye, having suffered a piece of sawdust from a chainsaw to enter into it in the previous week and cause such pain and discomfort. And how he spoke to us, I believe, on that occasion of how that tiny piece of wood dust cutting was under the control of God when it entered his eye. All things work together for good. The working together. Oh, we have before us what we cannot comprehend with all the faculties of our mind. That great God who I mentioned just now, that the sinner is called to know in some measure, it is only in some measure. To think, well, we can't think, can we? It's beyond our thoughts. But when faith is given, faith embraces it. Oh, that that great God is in control of every particle of dust in every part of the earth. And he's also in control of all things in eternity too. They're working together for good. And so you see, it is not one thing, but it is all things. If we may put it like this, the ingredients that the Almighty wisely puts in each of his people's cups, the afflictions, bodily afflictions, circumstantial afflictions, with some poverty, with others not poverty. Oh, with some afflictions all their life, others a favour with better health for most of their life. But there is something else that the Lord designs to put in their cup. How often we look at others and think, well, they haven't got the trouble that I have got. But you don't know what trouble they've got. Your troubles may be more easily apparent to those who look on. Their trouble. Wasn't it Mr. Coville? And somebody said to him one day, well, Mr. Coville, you haven't got these troubles that so many people have, or that I have. And Mr. Coville took that person to his house and showed him into that room where his lunatic son spent all his life. How it silenced that man who thought that Mr. Coville had no trouble. All things working together for good. And the point is this, if there was one ingredient missing, the effect would not be accomplished. And believer, this evening, if there's one thing, however small or however great, that is not in your path, or there would not be the working together for good. Each ingredient is perfectly balanced by the Lord, working together. But what are these things? What is the good that is brought forth? What is this working together for good? God's working. Oh, those that do not love God, those who are not the called according to his purpose, they have bodily afflictions, they have trials in their life, they have afflictions, they have troubles. But it's not Jacob's trouble. They're not loved, as the Lord says, Jacob have I loved. And therefore, there's no working together for good, there's no sanctifying of the trouble. It never does them good. But Lord, help me to speak of what this good is. Work together for good. Oh, that good. When a person is first brought into concern over their soul. Oh, what a precious good that is. Oh, that they were wise, said Moses. That they understood this. That they would consider their latter end. They're working together for good. Often the Lord's people, the work begins in an affliction. Perhaps they were brought feelingly to what we call as death's door, so near to death. And that was the way the Lord used to bring them into the first concern over their soul. For good. The good. Why before? No matter what warnings men gave, no matter what faithful sermons that person had been under, they took no notice of it. till the Lord brought these things upon them and caused it to work together for good. Oh, they were laid perhaps on a bed of affliction, but their sorest affliction was their soul. They had many pains, but the greatest pain they felt was the pain of their lost soul. Oh, they had much anxiety concerning their bodily affliction, but they had more anxiety about their soul. For good. For good. The good of being convinced of sin. Their sin. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, said the psalmist. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Recovering, restoring, working together for good. For good. But you see, the one ingredient, if I may put it like that to continue how I was speaking, the one ingredient that brings forth this good is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the working together. That grace by which that sinner mourns, that grace by which that sinner is troubled over their sin, that grace by which that sinner begins to call upon God. Oh, what things we need. And God working together those things to make us pray. Not say prayers, but pray. Not to say the publican's prayer, but to pray the publican's prayer from your very heart. Working together for good, for good. We know that all things work together for good. The timing in which this for good appears. Oh, in the matter of the trouble first coming upon that person and the first appearance of any good, sometimes in affliction, the first appearance is not good at all. As it's often been said concerning the furnace, the first thing that appears is the dross on the surface. It shows the rebellion. It shows the evil of the man's heart. It shows that fretfulness. It shows that complaining before him of whom that sinner has no just complaint, for he has not dealt with them after their sins, nor rewarded them according to their iniquities. The timing then. Oh, let patience, says the man of God, have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But where's that patience to come from? Oh, you say, can these things be working together for good when all I see is my own impatience, when all I see is my own wickedness, when I don't feel to get nearer to God, but further from him? Can this be working together for good? Well, what do you see thus far, poor sinner, in this path? What are you made to see that you never saw before? Are you not made to see that if you are to be saved, it must be wholly of God from beginning to end? Through this trouble causing nothing in you of yourself but that which is wrong in God's sight, that which is evil, through this trouble exposing to you the wickedness of your heart you never saw before, what good is being done by that? Well, are you not brought by it to the realization, the painful realization, that if you are to be saved, it must be wholly the work of God from beginning to end? And if you are to be saved, it must be wholly of his mercy. If you are to be saved, he must give that heart to pray. He must give that living faith. He must give that brokenness and contrition. He must, in mercy, come and find you where that good Samaritan found that poor man who'd fallen among thieves, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Oh, we may well suppose. Oh, do we not know it? Those of us that hope and trust, we know something of the teaching of God in these things. The priest and the Levite come past. Oh, there's some false dawn. How our hopes are lifted. But he passes by on the other side. This working together for good. Why, every prop must first or last sink or fall but Jesus Christ. We know that all things work together for good. For good. The darkest hour is often the hour before dawn. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came unto that storm-tossed boat and saith unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." The darkest hour, the one before the dawn. Oh, the sinner coming into the deepest place. The sinner going into the deepest depths. Oh, the sinner being brought. This is the working together for good. Oh, you're feeling that awful separation from God. What's good about that, you say? Isn't God showing you by these things working together for good where you really are? Isn't he showing you by these things what you really need? You don't need some man to tell you to do this or to do that. You need Christ to come and do all for you and all in you by his blessed Holy Spirit. Oh, you don't need some man to tell you, well, here is the life, boy, now you hang on to it. You need the Saviour. You haven't got the strength to hang on to some life, boy. You need the Saviour to stretch forth his invincible mighty arm. He did, Peter, didn't he? Lord, save me or I perish. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The good then, my dear friend, humbling. What continual need, these who love God, who are the called according to his purpose, what continual need they have of humbling. Pride. The hymn writer Joseph Hart, again, he says, it's there when I speak, but when I'm silent, it's there. Pride. To think I'm something. Oh, sinner, what things we must pass through to show us our pride. Were all things working together for good? Unanswered. That is not the Lord not yet answering prayer. Do you know that as a means whereby the Lord shows you your pride? Because you see, if we repine against God regarding the prayer he has not yet answered,
Is there not something in this, a self-importance? Why has the Lord not taken notice of me? And the Lord doesn't. He's silent. You see him deliver others. And he leaves you in that condition. You fret and you kick. You're like the bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Till the Lord draws near and shows you. Oh, your pride, your sense of self-importance. How good that is then when those all things work together for good to cause you to put your mouth in the dust and sigh unto the Lord from your very heart, Lord, I don't deserve thee ever to answer my prayer. But Lord, I do pray thou wilt, not because I deserve it, but because of thy faithfulness, because of thy promise. For good. All that good then when a sinner is brought to plead with God on those good terms. This is the name the Father loves to hear his children plead. We may think we're pleading that name, but the Lord knows better than we think. My dear friend, we need some things working together for good to really make us plead that good name. We need to see our name as what it is. Legion. We're many. So ignorant and I, so foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Oh, that good, when the Lord brings that sinner to work together for good. You say, oh, can it be working together for good when I don't seem to be able to get near this God? Surely if it was working together for good, I would be brought to him. Yes, you will. But you will be brought to him in his way, not your way. And his way is being drawn to his feet by himself. Draw me, said the spouse, we will run after thee. Oh, and when these things have worked together for good in that they've shown you your utter inability to come near to God, and you lie there, a helpless wretch, and the Lord puts into your soul such a low cry, such a moan. Lord, wilt thou look on a sinner who can't bring himself to thee? Wilt thou look on a poor sinner who can't produce one right desire, who can't make his heart really sorry over his sin, who can't believe? A poor sinner, Lord, who is feelingly utterly out of the way. And the Lord turns and looks upon him. They're working together for good. Oh, the good then of coming to God through his dear Son, Jesus Christ. The good of receiving the good of Christ. Oh, this is the good. Working together for good. Oh, I might speak of many things. May the Lord lead you in meditation upon this word. I see the time is almost gone. But I might speak just briefly the good when the Lord, he spoils your schemes of earthly joy. The things your mind and your heart and your affections were set upon. And he takes them from you one way or another. Or by his dealings in your soul, he spoils everything to you. So that the things that you once held with such a tight hold, he causes you to hold with a loose hand. All things working together for good. But I want to come and speak in the last few minutes, if I may be enabled, of this blessed good. Oh, the good from Christ. The good of his blessed grace. Oh, that sovereign grace. That favour for his name's sake. Oh, the favour of a look from the Saviour of sinners. How was Peter brought to know that favour of a look from the Saviour of sinners? Satan's sieve. His denying of Christ with oaths and curses three times. All things. Do not mistake, my dear friend, it wasn't good for Peter to sin. But sin for my good, says one, shall work or win, but it is not good for me to sin. The Lord turned and looked upon him, and he went out and wept bitterly. Oh, that good. To hear the voice of the Saviour of sinners. How does the Lord cause all things to work together for good, for that good? Oh, he brings a sinner into such trouble, such distress, causes all the things to work together for good. They're brought to that point. No voice but thine can calm my fears. No voice but thine will do. My dear friend, the good of bringing a sinner to Wits End Corner, the good of bringing a sinner to the place, Psalm 107, where all their wisdom is swallowed up, that they might be brought to look for the wisdom that is from above. Oh, all their righteousness as filthy rags, all their works burnt up in the furnace of affliction and trial, the good, oh, that blessed work of Christ, that free and sovereign grace, those sufferings, that glorious obedience, even unto death. We know that all things work together for good. Oh, that good, receiving the grace of Christ. That good of receiving a blood-bought pardon. That good of receiving that love shed abroad. The good of receiving the witness. My dear friend, the witness that God is my God. That Jesus is my Jesus. That the Holy Spirit is my comforter. To work together for good. Oh, my dear friend, what good then flows in the flowing of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ into a sinner's heart? That poor sinner, and until this good is sovereignly given, all they could see was evil. But that good swallows up all the evil. Remember, oh, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Those mountains of sins, the good of seeing that precious blood sweep them all away. Those fears, that distress that filled that poor sinner's heart, the good of the Lord's fear not. The good of that deliverance from all that bondage and corruption and darkness work together for good. You see, if there weren't all those things, we wouldn't be brought to that place. The good. Ah, in the trial the sinner could see nothing but rebellion. For this good, it brings all that rebellion down. I spoke earlier of that love of Christ. overcoming the enmity of our nature. This grace of the Lord Jesus overcomes all our rebelling against his dealings and brings to that submission. But you see, the working together for good. Who is glorified in this? This is the good. God is glorified. And he is glorified in the saving of lost wretches. He is glorified in the saving of completely undone worms of the earth. He is glorified in the saving of a Jacob who just deceived his father and cheated his brother out of the birthright. He is glorified in the salvation of a man who's just denied his Lord with oaths and curses. He is glorified in the salvation of a man like Job. Oh, we read this morning at home the things that he said. And oh, even the Lord's servant Elihu, he said, my desire is that Job may be tried to the end for all the things that he has spoken against God and for the wicked. But Elihu's desire wasn't given, was it? I'm sure that Job did have trials to the end of his life, but not that trial he was in then. The Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Not because Job was so patient. Not because Job always said the right thing. But because God was faithful to his promise. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. That's the good. Wherefore I bore myself and repent in dust and ashes. That's the good. Working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And you see these very things working together for good. They're a token. In the trial, the sinner is greatly troubled. Do I love God? 'Tis a point I long to know. Could my heart so hard remain? Prayer a task and burden proof. Am I called? I don't seem to be much of a follower of the Lord Jesus. I'm a wretched follower of sin. I'm a wretched follower of this world. But you see, the Lord makes it clear by the working together for good. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. Oh. Through that working together for good, the Lord makes known to his people that he loves them. He makes known to them that they are the called according to his purpose. I will say it is my people. When? In what context does the Lord say that? I'll bring the third part through the fire. I'll refine them as silver is refined and try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will answer them. I will say it is my people and they shall say the Lord is my God. They'll work together for good. Well, this will be fully seen one day, the eternal day. And you know, the good that the text speaks of, that the Lord's people have tastes of here below, they all have that same tendency. It's the love of Christ, it's the mercy of Christ, it's the word of Christ to our souls that make us anticipate heaven, that put our affections there, that set our conversation there, that make the things of this world so unimportant, comparatively speaking. Now, they desire a better country. Oh, that's the thing, isn't it? Oh, that good thing. Now they desire a better country. That is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And so the sore afflictions he may lay upon them, all the sudden death he may bring upon them, will be among the all things that work together for good. That refining work, that ripening of the wheat for the harvest. The fields, said the Lord Jesus, are white or ready to harvest. What does that whiteness speak of? The robes they're going to be arrayed in heaven. There's a little appearance of it here below. The robe of Christ's righteousness. The blessed work of the Holy Spirit in clothing them with that robe. But who was it that in the parable was clothed with that robe? Not the son that said to his father, I've never broken thy commandments. But the returning prodigal, the Lord had sent a mighty famine on that land. He would fain have eaten the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. Cruelty, says the flesh. And there may be things in your life, in so many respects, in which you look to this one and that one to show some kindness toward you. But if you're in this way and the Lord is causing all things to work together for good, the only good you'll receive is from the Father's house. How many hired servants in my Father's house have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise. Oh, the good that his troubles brought, that God caused his troubles to bring forth. I will arise and go to my Father. Say, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And while he was yet a great way off. Yes, that's how it is. While he was yet a great way off, his father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The robe, the shoes, the ring, the feast. This, my son, was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Oh, no words can describe the good of heaven. Working together for good. An eternity, oh, in that place where there'll be no more trouble. No more sin. No more of our old fallen nature. No more of the devil's temptations. No more of the world's allurements. For the real good is Christ. With Christ, which is far better. To see him face to face. Oh, that blessed, glorious God-man. In heaven, in all his glory. To see him. And to love him. Forever and ever. In the fullness of it. The good. The joy prepared for suffering saints. will make amends for all. Amen.
God willing, Dr. Sadler is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and next week there'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Pickett is expected to preach on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 545. Truly that poor soul is just, who by faith in Christ can trust, in him live, upon him rest, as the Lord his righteousness. 545.
thank thee for the truth. Do bless it to us and make it more and more known in our life and experience. Forgive that which has been amiss. Do keep us safe as we separate. By the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.